Dear brothers and sisters, as we move through the Easter season, next week we will celebrate the Ascension. Next weekend we'll celebrate that solemnity of the Lord ascending into heaven. Then we have the last Sunday of Easter. So we're almost through Easter and crops aren't planted yet. No worries. God's in charge, right? He provides for us. I've been going over the book of Revelation, particularly during this Easter season. And our circumstance certainly helps us to see how this book of Revelation isn't just simply a historical or a recipe. It's written in a very symbolic language. And I think we struggle with it because it seems to repeat similar things. It doesn't seem to go from A to B to C to D. Instead, what the book does is it repeats. As a commentator says, it doesn't travel in a straight line like we're used to. It kind of goes in circles that go into a conclusion and a direction. So oftentimes there's different descriptions of things, like numbers are repeated. There's 12, the number 12, 12 tribes. There's the 12 angels. There's the seven trumpets, the seven bowls. And it, each time it goes through, it goes to a deeper and more detail. And so as we read this book, we don't read it looking that it somehow we find when the end's going to be. But if we read it in faith, we find what we are to do to be ready for the end. And the end is glorious. We hear we're getting towards the end of the book. Chapter 22 is the end of the book, and we read from the beginning of chapter 21. And this is what we're anticipating and preparing for, right? John said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth has passed away, and the sea was no more." It should bring us thoughts of, I've heard something like that before, the prophet Isaiah. The Lord said to the prophet Isaiah, "The things of the past, those things that from long ago, remember no more. Can you not perceive I'm doing something new?" This reality of what heaven and earth is like is what Revelation wants to really lay out for us to not miss. Life for us in this world is filled with a lot of calamity. We have a war going on. We've been through 2 years of pandemic, and it's as chaotic as the book of Revelation, our life. We had a blizzard in April. This reality in Revelation, speaking with dragons and all of those things, are to symbolize what sin is. Babylon is the figure of any corrupt and immoral culture or society. We've seen those over the years and in our history, right? A little less than 100 years ago, we had the concentration camps. We had people being executed because of their color or their religion or their principle. The book of Revelation describes what sin looks like, but it's always focused on what we can't forget, that God's in charge and he's victorious, and that we want to be with him. And so we do what we heard in the first reading, right? From the Acts of the Apostles, Paul and Barnabas are faithful in holding true and letting the Lord speak through them to bring people the good news. And it wasn't always easy, but they persisted. They continued on. And that's how we are to live our life, with this faith and this confidence, knowing that the battle's already won. It's already in hand. It's God's. It just hasn't happened yet. And we don't want to waste time like some have done of trying to find that that a world's going to end on this date. That's not what the book of Revelation is about. It's about what we are to do to be ready when the time comes, to be those in white garments who have been faithful to God in all circumstances, even to the giving of our life. So listen closely to what is said here. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, which usually is a reference, the New Jerusalem is the church, right? And we see that being clarified in the next line as coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What is the church called? The bride of Christ, right? So we have this New Jerusalem, the church coming down out of heaven from God. Then a loud voice was heard from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will always be with them as their God." That should ring some bells. We hear from Ezekiel multiple times in the year where God is saying through Ezekiel, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I will give you a new heart. You will be my people and I will be your God." This fulfillment of what the prophets long ago had spoken is what the culmination of creation will be. God will dwell with us. It makes it sound heaven isn't somewhere up there. God will renew all the earth. It will become perfect. And he will be with us like he was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Brothers and sisters, all creation shares in the new creation. And he will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order is passed away. And then we hear the words of the one who sat on the throne, the Lamb, our Savior Jesus, "Behold, I make all things new." Not just us, all of creation. And we will share in that if we do what he says, the new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must also love one another. That's what makes it new. It's not like people weren't told to love each other before. To love each other in a radical way, the way the Lord has loved us. And we need his help. We need his life. This new life he gives to us in the sacraments. So let us come with confidence in what he has promised us, that he makes us new, able to love in a new dimension, in a new way, dying to our own selfish desires and giving of ourselves for the good of others, as we hear constantly in the Acts of the Apostles, this newness for the early church. They were willing to die for one another. They were willing to die for their faith in God. And they did everything to remain in union with him. And that's why we gather early in the morning on Sunday morning, be nourished by the life of God, the body and blood of our Lord, so that we might be able to love at a deeper and new level, a level of Christ. So good brothers and sisters, don't fret, don't worry. The victory is already claimed by God. Don't think we have to do it all. He's doing most of it. We just have to remain faithful and in union with him. And thus we will share in the glory that is spoken of in the book of Revelation.